In one of his books, a seminary professor recommended to his students, and for that matter, all serious Christians, that they make an appointment with the Lord. His suggestion was that if your first appointment in the morning was at 8:30, that you set an appointment with the Lord, say, at 8 o'clock. In explaining this, he said, postponements are allowed, but not cancellations. He went on to say that that practice had changed his life. This is a practice that many Christians have adopted. It's called by various names. Some call it having daily devotions. Another name for it is simply having a quiet time. I would prefer to call it a divine date. And I mean by that, a date with the Lord. When a young man is attracted to a young girl and he wants to know her better, he asks for a date. And for the same reason, you need a date with the Lord. We need to spend time with him. We need to get to know him. We need to talk to him and listen to him talk to us, which he does through his word. So if you've never had a date before, and you have some questions about how to do it, then what I'd like to do is speak today on how to go on a date. And frankly, this is a great idea for the new year, is it not? What a great way to start by setting up some divine appointments with the Lord. Now, I have to confess, the Bible does not tell us how to have devotions every day. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't even say that you should do this. However, there are some indications in the epistles that the Apostle Paul had a set time for prayer, but it doesn't exactly spell out exactly how to do that. However, there's some indications in the scripture that spiritually minded people spent some time with the Lord. And I think we have at least one illustration of how a person did that. So would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words which were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And so no man shall come up with you. And let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither the flocks nor the herds feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses arose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Now, obviously, This is a case where Moses spent some time with the Lord. Before we look at exactly what he did, let me point out two things that prepared him for this. The first was that he had an appointed time. Look at verse 2. So be ready in the morning. And again in verse 4. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses arose early in the morning. So verse 2 says, be ready in the morning. And verse 4 says, he was ready early in the morning. So let me suggest, if you're going to have a divine date, I guess if you're going to have any date, the first thing you have to have is a time. Now, what time should you choose? I have known many who set aside time in the morning, as is the case here. I've known people, however, who did it at some other time. I even knew a fellow once who did it at lunch time. He did it on his lunch break. He had an hour, and that took some of that hour to go spend some time with the Lord. Or you could even do it in the evening. There is no set time cut in stone, so to speak. I knew a fellow once who had a regular time with the Lord between midnight and 2 a.m. Interesting time to spend time with the Lord. I'm afraid I would fall asleep during that time. But he didn't, and that was his time with the Lord. So let me suggest that you need a time, and let me go one step further and suggest that maybe the best time is in the morning. There are a number of people in the Bible who spent time with the Lord in the morning. For example, Abraham spent time with the Lord in the morning. Genesis chapter 19, verse 27 says, and Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Notice it says early in the morning. It wasn't just the morning, it was early in the morning that he chose to do that. Another fella in the Bible who spent some time with the Lord in the morning was none other than Job. In Job chapter 1, verse 5, we are told, so it was when the days of the fasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, that he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all, which is a reference to his children. But again, the point is that he spent time with the Lord early in the morning. The psalmist says something similar. Psalm 5, verse 3 says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. One that I think surprised me a bit was Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 8 says, in the morning, the word of the Lord came to me. And then, of course, there is the classic example of them all, and that is that the Lord himself prayed in the morning. In Mark chapter 1, we're told in verse 35 that after a full day of ministry, which I think he would have been tempted, and no one would have faulted him had he slept in the next morning. But the previous verses tell us he had a full day of ministry. Then verse 35 says, now in the morning, having arisen a long time before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So Abraham, Job, Ezekiel, David, and the Lord himself spent some time in prayer in the morning. And I think the scripture emphasizes early in the morning. So, they need a time, and I'm going to suggest the best time is in the morning. And the reason is rather simple. In the morning, your mind is fresh. If you wait till later, it will be filled with all kinds of things, and there will be no room for anything or even a spiritual appetite pertaining to things spiritual. It's like, if you wait till later, it's like eating junk food before you get to the main meal, and then you've lost some of your appetite. So, I'm going to suggest that you can do this anytime, but that the example put for us in Scripture is that you do it in the morning. Now, in that regard, having practiced this for virtually all of my life, let me make a suggestion or two. You need to wake up before you look up anything in the Bible. Get out of bed. Wash your face. Maybe if you have to, drink a cup of coffee. Maybe some even eat first. I have known many who had a slogan that went something like this: no Bible, no breakfast. That they add it before breakfast. But if you have to have something in your stomach first, then by all means eat. The point is, you need a time. And in my opinion, and I think the example of Scripture is, the best time is in the morning, early in the morning. Now, there's one other suggestion I would make based on Leviticus chapter 34. We are told there that Moses had a time and Moses had a place. Look in the chapter 34 and look at verse 2 again. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai. Now, I assume they were camped in the valley, and Moses had to go up the mountain. I've been to that site, by the way, and climbed the mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And that was a long trek if he went all the way to the top. You didn't do that in 15 minutes, I assure you. But he had a place. He had a place where he could go and be with the Lord. So you need a place. Now, what should that place look like? I don't think it matters, except for one thing. Read the next verse. It says, I want you to come up, look at verse 2, in the mountain, and present yourself before me on the top of the mountain. Verse 3, and no man shall come with you. So this place has to be where you can be alone. And let no man be seen throughout the mountain. So don't even be within eyeshot of another person. And neither let flocks nor herds feed before the mountain. No humans within earshot or eyesight, and no animals. Why would he say a thing like that? And the answer is rather obvious. It's because those would be a distraction, an easy distraction. So wherever this place is, it needs to be private. It needs to be a private place. I knew of a man that had a family and he wanted to spend some time with the Lord, and there was no place in his house. So he went out in the garage and he took a few feet off the back of the garage, just enough to have a small space for a desk, and built a little partition, and that was his little time with the Lord. It was out in the garage, away from the family, early in the morning, and he could be with the Lord and read the scripture and spend some time in prayer without being disturbed. So, private. No dogs, no cats, no birds, no goldfish, just you, a Bible, and the Lord. If you want to use some software, I guess you might have a computer nearby, but only if it's Bible software. It needs to be a private place where you are alone with the Lord. I've been doing this for a long time, virtually all my life. I actually started this when I was in college, and that was a long time ago. I remember once, many years ago, when I was invited to speak at a youth camp. And there was a meeting place, and there was a fishing hole. And before the service, I would go down to the fishing hole, because I knew nobody would be there at that time, and I would spend some time with the Lord before I went to speak. Well, there was a dog on that ground. The kids just loved this dog. And one morning, he followed me down to the swimming hole. And I picked up a stick and threw it, and he fetched it and brought it back, and I picked up the stick and threw it, and he brought it back. And then I got to the swimming hole, and he thought this was playtime. I thought it was prayer time, and I couldn't get rid of the dog. Matter of fact, it destroyed that particular day for me spending some time with the Lord. And I learned, no dogs if I'm going to spend time with the Lord. All right. That's the prep. You got to have a time and you got to have a place, preferably early in the morning, and clearly it needs to be private without distractions. All right. That's like having a date with a person before you get married, right? To have a time and a place to go. What do you do on this date? Well, let me suggest three things you need to do. The first is you need to pray. Again, look at Exodus chapter 34 and look at verse 2. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me. The first thing the Lord said is, I want you to present yourself to me. I'm not exactly sure what is involved in that. There's no indication in this passage what that meant. However, based on a lot of references in Scripture, I'm going to suggest that the kind of thing he probably did was things like just begin by praising the Lord or thanking the Lord. Now, I say that because that is clearly the pattern throughout the Scripture, both Old and New Testament. There is constant praise to the Lord and thanksgiving to Him. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 epistles. In 11 of them, he begins with a prayer. And in those 11, the prayer is with thanksgiving. It was clearly the pattern of Paul to start with prayer and to start with thanksgiving. So, you need to meet with the Lord, and you just need to praise Him for who He is and thank Him for what He has done. Many years ago, the man who led me to Christ made a suggestion. And that is that every day you ought to thank the Lord, if for nothing else, that He saved you. Now, if you're having a hard time and you don't think God's particularly blessing you right now, you can at least thank Him for that, right? Amen. Right. The Lord gave the apostles the power to do all kinds of things. And they came back thrilled that they could do it. And in Luke chapter 10, this is what he tells them. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Interesting. What you should rejoice in and be thankful for is that you know the Lord, that He has saved you, that your names are written in heaven. Let me make a second suggestion. If you haven't done so beforehand, and there's some sin you've committed since the last time you had this little meeting with the Lord, maybe one of the things you need to do is just confess sin. Matter of fact, this isn't a bad time to have a little introspection. That some of the things you've said or thought or done or not done since the last time you met with the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is really important. I don't know how many Christians I've talked to that have done things that were sinful, or they haven't performed up to the level that they think they should have. And they have this incredible guilt that they carry around. Now, you need to know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9, verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, just to have a good time with the Lord, confess and accept the fact that you're forgiven based on that. Matter of fact, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody has suggested that the forgiveness is in heaven and the cleansing is on earth. Interesting. So if you come before the Lord and you have dealt with the sin, then you need to accept the fact that you are forgiven and clean again. Interesting. So just present yourself to the Lord. But I'd like to suggest one other thing, that this prayer is praise, it's confession, and it's making a request. And here is the request. The next thing I'm going to say is that you should spend some time in the Scripture. But before we get there, before you open the Bible, there's a prayer that you need to pray. It's in Psalm 119:18. You really need to know this verse. Psalm 119:18. Says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You need to pray that every time you open the Bible. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see what you've said. We often refer to the fact that lost people are blind, and they are. They're blind to the gospel. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But it's possible for a believer to be blind. Matter of fact, that's specifically mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1. You can be blind. Now, what you have to know is it is the Lord who opens the eyes of believers so that they can see spiritual truth. Matthew chapter 16. The Lord asked Peter who he was, and Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't figure that out on your own, nor did anybody else help you see that. Finally and ultimately, it was my Father who opened your eyes. Now you must understand that it is God who opens our eyes to understand his word. So if you're going to open it, pray. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things in thy law. I do this constantly. Did it this morning. Lord, what in the world are you saying in that verse? I don't get it. That happens to me a lot. And my retreat is to Psalm 119, verse 18. So, the first thing you need to do on this date is pray. You need to praise, give thanks, confess, and request that the Lord open your spiritual eyes. The next thing you need to do is open the Word of God and read it. Back in Exodus chapter 34, we're told in verse 5, "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood before him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving the iniquity and transgressions and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations.'" So Moses met with the Lord, he talked to the Lord, and the Lord talked to him. Now I have some great news for you. You don't need to go climb a mountain to hear the Lord speak to you. The Lord doesn't descend in a cloud like he did with Moses. Rather, he has written his message, and all we have to do is open it and read it. Now, let me tell you, there's a problem with that. And all of us experience it. You know what the problem with assimilating the scripture is? Our mind is cluttered with other junk. We get up in the morning, turn on the TV set while we're getting dressed, read the paper while we're eating breakfast, listen to the radio while we're going to work. At work, we listen to all kinds of chatter that clutters our mind. We get off work, listen to the radio going back. Then we spend the evening doing what? Watching television. Or working on the internet. Or watching YouTube. Or you take it to bed and you play with the iPhone. But constantly during the day, our minds are bombarded and saturated with all kinds of stuff. Crowds out the scripture. Where's room for the scripture? Your mind so filled with clutter and stuff, there's no room left. That's obvious by just listening to people talk. I do this a lot. I just listen to people talk. Listen to what comes out of their mouth. I am amazed at how many people I talk to only talk about themselves. That's all they know to talk about. That's all they think about. So they talk about themselves. I mean, you stop and think about it. According to Jesus, what comes out of your mouth is what is in your head, your heart, same thing in that passage. So that by listening to people talk, you can tell what's going on in the inside of them because they talk about themselves. That's all they talk about because that's all they think about. Somebody has said, wise men talk about ideas. Ordinary men talk about things. And fools talk about each other. So if people aren't talking about themselves, they're talking about each other, and that is even worse. So our minds are cluttered and just stuffed with all kinds of things. And if all that isn't the problem, the next problem is our lack of concentration. We've lost the ability to concentrate. We've lost the ability to study. We've lost the ability to think. Our whole society has been reduced to sound bites of 30 seconds each. So if you can't think in terms of 30 seconds, you can't think very much. Most people can't think beyond that. So we've reduced it now to 140 characters. I'm going to communicate to you with 140 characters. Can you imagine? No wonder we don't understand the Bible. We don't understand things that are written because we haven't learned to do that. We haven't learned to focus mentally. We haven't learned to concentrate. We listen to sound bites and slogans instead. If you're going to listen to the news, you can do it at the top of the hour. Just turn on the radio and in 5 minutes, you got the whole thing. And then most of what we watch isn't making us think, it's making us laugh. We're not enlightened, we're entertained. And we can't even take a lot of entertainment anymore. A 30-minute sitcom has how many breaks for commercials so you can get up and run to the refrigerator? I know, I do it too. So we don't know how to think. We don't know how to concentrate. And it's because we are conditioned in this society to just go a few minutes, and that's it. Sometimes seconds, that's all we can handle. So when it comes to opening the scripture, you read it. Let's suppose you do what I'm suggesting. You read the Bible every morning. Isn't that a revolutionary idea? Is that a good way to start the year? Amen. Good idea?
Yes.
All right, so you're going to read it. Pick a time, 7:30. By 9 o'clock, you forgot what you read. Right? And if you didn't forget it by 9 o'clock, you for sure forgot it by noon. I know. I've done it. You know? You read it, and it doesn't stick. So because of that, I've made a practice for years. I've been saying this for decades. Some of you have heard me say it repeatedly. Let me make a suggestion. Pick a book. Pick a short book. And read it all the way through without stopping. Every day for 30 days. I'm waiting for that to sink in. Do you get that? Pick a book, a short book. I recommend you start, if you've never done this, with Philippians. Start with Philippians. Read it all the way through. If you are a slow reader, you can read those four chapters in 15 minutes. You got 15 minutes? That's what it's going to take. Or less. Maybe a few minutes more, but that's not a lot. You spend more time watching television, right? Takes that much time to read the newspaper. Nobody does that anymore anyway. So just read it all the way through every day for 15 days. Now, what's going to happen if you do that is you're going to start reading and you're going to say, I know what he's going to say next. After about 15 days, it starts to stick. Now, let's suppose that you decided you were going to do Philippians every day for 30 days. That's January. Then what do? How about just going to the next book? That's February. Then what do? Pick another book. If you did that this year, do you think you might next year know more about the Bible than you did this past year?
Amen.
Is that a good idea?
Yes.
And this isn't as bad as exercising. Right? I mean, this doesn't take as much discipline as dieting. Not a bad idea for the new year, right?
Right.
All right, do it. Say, well, whoa, what happens? I mean, some of these books got more than four chapters. What happens when you run out of four-chapter books? All right. If you still want bite-sized stuff, if you haven't graduated by that time, or you don't have the time, I'll make another suggestion. Take Matthew. It has 28 chapters. Say, man, it would take hours to read that. Right. So break it up. Read four chapters at a time. How about that? Not bad, right? So how many months would it take if you did four chapters at a time to get through? Don't figure that out now. Do it later. The point is, you need to read the Word of God and you need repeated exposure so it's sticks in these undisciplined minds that we have.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to make another suggestion. This is not original with me, but if you're a novice at this, This is one of the best things I can tell you. This is not the ultimate way to read the Bible, in my opinion. That's advanced stuff. So let me give you something that's so incredibly simple that you can do it. I've put in the bulletin an outline of this, and the reason I put that in the bulletin was for the next 5 points I'm going to make. Did everybody get a bulletin? Did you get the insert that says how to have a divine date? All right, where are the ushers? We got any bulletins left? We got people that didn't get a bulletin. All right, we might not have any left. All right, what I did is I just put on that sheet the outline of, you got some? All right, if you didn't get a bulletin with an insert, raise your hand. Oh, we got lots of people that need it. All right, we might not, I think the ushers are trying to find the, just give them the bulletin. Give them the whole thing. I don't think we got enough left. We don't. All right, we'll get some made and pass them out. But the reason I put this in the bulletin is I want you to get these five things. And I know if I give you these five things, you're not going to remember them. You're not going to remember them past lunch. I'd be surprised if you remember them at the end of the service. So I wrote them and I put it on a little piece. I think we got them. All right, raise your hand if you need a bulletin. Here we go. Up here, up front. All right, how many we got? Look at this. I think we're going to make it. All right, on this piece of paper are five things I'm suggesting you look for in the scripture. One over here. Two over here. Ali, we need one more over here. I want you to put this in your Bible. And here are the five things. Number one, a sin to forsake. Number two, a command to obey. Number three, a promise to claim. Number four, a quality to add. Number five, a concept to remember. Now, here's what I'm doing. I want you to put this list in your Bible. And as you are reading, look for a sin that you need to deal with, a command that you need to obey, a promise, a quality that you need to add to your life, and a concept that you need to remember. Now, I suggested a minute ago that you read the book of Philippians. So let me take this list and illustrate it from the book of Philippians. What about a sin to confess? Well, when you get to chapter 4, it says in verse 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And it goes on to say, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't worry. That's a sin you need to deal with if you're worrying. How about a command to obey? In chapter 2, verse 14, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Ouch. Could you remember that till noon? Quit complaining. Quit being anxious. Number 3, a promise. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. If you get the promise down, it would solve the anxiety earlier in the chapter. How about 4, a quality to add. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And a concept you might want to remember, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, in chapter 1. Think you could do that? Is that hard? Could you do that? Could you just read the passage and just be mindful of those one of those five things and then maybe think about that one thing for the rest of the day? Might work. All right, third thing. You need to pray. You need to read. And then you need to pray again. Back in Exodus chapter 34, we're told that it says in verse 9, "Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities and our sins, and take us as your inheritance." All right. He prayed at the beginning. He presented himself. That was about him. The Lord revealed himself to him. And then at the end, he prays again. And this time he's praying for other people. So, pray. Now, in that little insert I put in the bulletin, I wrote down there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Did you get that on that list? All right, here's what I'm going to suggest. Pray for a different thing every day. I had a person suggest once many years ago that on Monday you pray for missionaries. How about praying for the local rescue mission? On Tuesday you pray for the task that you have to do. On Wednesday you pray for your work. On Thursday you just give thanks. On Friday you pray for your family. On Saturday, you pray for sinners, and on Sunday, you pray for the service at church. Now, the fellow who originally created that was very clever because he alliterated it with the days of the week. Monday, missionaries; Tuesday, task; Wednesday, work; Thursday, Thanksgiving; Friday, family; Saturday, sinners; Sunday, service. I don't care whether you do that or not. I'm just suggesting that at some point in your prayer time, you pray for yourself. You give thanks to the Lord. You pray for lost people. And I suggest you have a list of lost people you pray for. Do you have a list of lost people you pray for regularly? And how about on Sunday praying for the service? Amen. Do you pray for your pastor on Sunday? Amen. He needs it. Matter of fact, last Sunday, my voice gave out in the middle of the message. And for a minute, I thought I was done for the day. And I have coughed my head off all week. I'm still coughing and shocked that I've made it this far in the sermon without coughing. Are you praying for me? That's the kind of thing you ought to pray for. Pray for me every Sunday morning. Pray for you every Sunday morning. Pray for the people who come to church every Sunday morning. Pray that God blesses us every Sunday morning.
Amen.
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 And amen. And amen. All right. I'm done. Not quite. Almost. How are we doing? You got this? Do you think you could do that this year?
Yes.
Will you try it for a week?
Yes.
How about 52 weeks?
Try.
By the way, if you miss a day, don't worry about it. Do it the next day. Got it?
Yes.
Got it. I rarely miss a day doing this, but this week I did. I missed 2 days, as a matter of fact. Very unusual for me, but I did. Don't worry about it. Just do it the next day. Confess it and keep going. All right, here's what I'm saying. To have a divine date, you need a prearranged time and place when you can pray, read the scripture, and then pray again in more depth. I think of this as spiritual food. And it's sort of like a hamburger. Matter of fact, my wife and I have a tradition. I don't know how this got started. I hesitate to confess this. We celebrate New Year's Eve by eating a hamburger. That's a tradition with us. We go find a hamburger. I think it started because she got a coupon. I think that's what started this. And the place we started with no longer is in business. So we had to go find another place. So yesterday, we found a new place that we'd never had a hamburger at before. And it was one of the most phenomenal hamburgers I've ever eaten in my life. And if you be real nice to me, I'll tell you where it is. It's in Santa Monica, but it was delicious. Now, I think of this as a hamburger. You got a bun, a patty, and a bun. You got prayer, meat from the scripture, and prayer again. Got it? Hamburger, spiritual food. And I said, do this early in the morning, didn't I? Well, maybe that won't work. Now, let me tell you that there's going to be one great objection to what I'm saying today. You know what the great objection is? The number one, there's going to be lots of them. Number one is, I don't have the time. That's going to be the number one objection. So let me explain. If you do what I've said, it can be done in 7 minutes. Now, earlier I said you could read the whole book in 15. But if you just read one chapter, you could reduce this whole thing to 7 minutes and do it in less. The first thing I said to do was pray. I thank the Lord, confess, and ask Him to open your eyes as you read the scripture. You know how long that takes? It doesn't take a minute, unless you've got too many sins to confess. I mean, you can do that in 60 seconds. You can read a chapter of the Bible in less than, give that 5 minutes. And then spend 2 minutes to pray. Have you ever tried to pray for 2 minutes? That's hard work. Try this. Go home, get in a private place, turn on a timer. There's one in your phone. Turn on a timer and try to pray for 2 minutes. Pray everything you can think about and see how long it took. This doesn't take time. I think you can do this easy in 7 to 15 minutes. But the issue is not having time. The issue is making time. Amen. Isn't it?
Amen.
I think I've told you this before, and I've practiced this all my life, all my Christian life. But my wife and I got in the habit some years ago of watching The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I loved Jay Leno, especially Jay Walking. And then one day it dawned on me, I'm staying up so late, it's cutting into my time in the morning. So guess what I did? I gave up Jay Leno so I could get up early. You don't have the time. Turn off the TV and go to bed earlier by 15 minutes. So the issue really isn't having the time, it's making the time. One more observation. There's a danger in what I'm teaching today. And the danger is that you do it. Huh? Yeah, the danger is you'll do it, and then you will conclude you're spiritual because you did it. So let me clarify. Doing this does not make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual? What makes you spiritual is obeying the Lord and trusting Him for the power to do it. That's what makes you spiritual. Not some external activity of even reading the Bible. So the danger is that you do it and get real proud of yourself that you're spiritual. So forget the pride. Get down to what this is really all about. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody has said, I meet God in the morning when my day was at its best. And His presence came sunrise like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought us peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings and a keen remorse of mine when I too had loosed the moorings with the Savior left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. Let's pray. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and make a decision. And the decision is that you will at least start this in the morning or at some time starting tomorrow. If you will say, Pastor, I'm going to give it a try, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right. Great. Father, thank you for providing access to the throne of grace and the unbelievable access to a whole treasure of spiritual truth. Now grant, Father, the grace that we might take advantage of these great blessings that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.